Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, to close out tonight, a great story about nourishing the spirit of older people who live at home. Francis Chelwell is the head of Anglicare's Aged Care Chaplaincy Program, and he often finds that old age can isolate Christians from their church, and a chaplain's visit can be a vital support for their health and their faith and their well-being. Francis Chelwell, welcome to Open House.
Thank you, Stephen.
So 3 years ago you took on this new role. What attracted you to it?
Well, actually, there's a story to it. I was in parish ministry for 22 years, and I went to a memorial service of a saint who had passed away. And from a congregation that I had been pastoring for about 14 years previous.
Was that Surry Hills?
Yeah, I was pastoring there at Surry Hills, yeah. But this person, she was a member of the congregation I pastored in the Lower Blue Mountains.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And after the service, all these people who I knew came up to me and said hello, but the thing they said was, thank you for visiting. And, like, it was like they scripted it. And so as I was walking away and going to catch the train back down to the city, I thought, oh, obviously that's my legacy. 14 years on, what they remember about my 3.5 years there was the fact that I visited people, and I did. I did a lot of visiting there. And I thought, I kind of missed that, because in Surry Hills, you need a different demand, different skills, a different pace to your time.
Yes.
And I thought, well, I could, do more visiting in Surry Hills. I could always do that. But then I thought, nah, you know what, Francis? That's God calling you into another ministry.
It was the author of life who put those words into those people's mouths that day, wouldn't you think?
Amazing. Yeah, because I knew it was time to move on after 14 years somewhere. But because I had a strong calling to Surry Hills, a really strong one, I thought, well, I need to have some sort of gut conviction of calling out of it. And that was it. That was the moment.
Wow. Having visited a few people myself in different roles, going into someone's home is a very, especially when they haven't, they haven't done it up for you. You just visit and they let you in. They're letting you into something really private, aren't they?
It's a beautiful thing, because the moment you cross that threshold, you need an open mind, an open heart, because you don't know what to expect, even if you know the person.
Yeah.
You just don't know what's happening in the moment. So I liken it to being in the image of God. That's what God did for us. He came among us. He visited us. When you think of it, God actually visited us. That's a mind-blowing idea and reality, that God would come and visit us.
Yes.
And actually, he knew what to expect when he visited us, yet he still came out of love for us. And so when I go into a person's home or a person's room, if they're in a residential village, I just go in to connect with them, to meet them in their space and in their situation, and to say hello, and to be like the presence of God, and just listen and be present with them, and hopefully I get a chance to pray with them or talk about spiritual things or talk about a particular part of the Bible if it's appropriate, if that's where they're at, and talk about spiritual things and those sorts of things. I really enjoy doing that. So I really enjoy meeting them where they are, but at the same time, just putting something out there between us, which will kind of maybe even nudge the direction of the encounter, the engagement toward the Lord in a sort of upward way.
The skill in that would be not to look like you've manipulated the situation. To genuinely not manipulate the situation.
Yeah, but that's easy. You're listening to someone. And if you can connect with their heart, there's a universal thing you can connect with. It could be aspiration or excitement. It could be disappointment. It could be grief. You've been there too. If you can connect in that kind of universal way, you can actually talk about an experience that you've had, if it's appropriate, that is. If it's kind of appropriate in a therapeutic sort of way, can you put it out there and say, you know what? I had that feeling too in this situation. It may or not connect with you, but this is how the Lord helped me.
Now, of course, as a chaplain, you've also been trained in those really important questions, open-ended questions, asking a person, how did that make you feel, or even just the creative silence.
You've got it.
Well, there you go, two professionals.
Was that a bit of a creative silence there?
We had a moment. I was waiting for you to say something profound. Well, yeah, but what do people... When do you know that it's the right time for a bit of creative silence in your work?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, it's silence that is where that creativity happens and that connection happens so often. And so I wish I could do it much more. And so sometimes you're in a room with another chaplain, and there might be lots of silences.
Sometimes I think that people speak the loudest when they're silent.
Oh, Stephen, I'll use that one.
But it's true, though, isn't it? And as an interviewer, in obviously a very different setting than the interviews that you do, there is a spiritual connection that I find. Is it prompted by God? Maybe it is. I hope so. I think God has helped me to be empathetic. Is that something that you've always known about yourself, that you're an empathetic person?
That's a good question. I'm not so sure. I'm always learning. Even in the 3 years since I'm becoming a chaplain, I've learned so much, so much. Like, and look, even that moment where after that Thanksgiving service for that saint, departed saint, and those people came up and said, thank you for visiting, it's like I never realised how significant it was. Like, that really was the thing. They didn't say thanks for preaching, thanks for kids' ministry, thanks for leadership. They didn't say that. Although, you know, all those things are involved, I learned that for my experience there at that church, that was the thing that was really powerful for them, was that sense of just going in and turning up, knocking on the door and visiting. I learned a big thing then. Now, since chaplaincy, since becoming a chaplain as well, I've learned much more about the power of silence, the power of visiting, the power of listening, and yet trying to pick up and not be afraid to go into that area of that the empathetic, of the feeling side of things. And yeah, and when a person comes up with things that could be messy, rather than turn away, this is something I got to really brace myself and hold myself, stay in the moment, stay curious, stay attentive, maybe ask an open question or even give people permission that they can keep talking, it's okay, or they can cry, it's okay. You know, that, and not turn away, not try and jump in with a kind of a diversionary tactic or something which might make me feel a heck of a lot more comfortable.
Our guest on Open House is Francis Chelwell. He's the head of Anglicare's Aged Care Chaplaincy Program. Well, you're now in this context of aged care, so it's impossible to generalise. Can you tell me some stories about people that you've visited in this new context, the aged care context, and tell me about some of their needs? What have you learned?
Yeah, what is it? Mother Teresa says the greatest disease today is lack of love and loneliness. Yeah. And so I think you go in and that's, you know, as people get older, that kind of the world becomes more isolated. It's harder for them to keep that energy to maintain connections. Yeah. So often you go in and people are very lonely, or they feel crushed by, their relationships break down. And they, like, for instance, I went visiting with another one of the chaplains who took me to one of her regular clients. And she told the story, and the chaplain was beautiful in, you know, being there, a Christ-like presence. And this resident was she's a Christian, and she told a story about how she doesn't go to church anymore because she just finds she lost a license or had to surrender a license to drive, and she finds it even hard to walk across the road now. She feels vulnerable, and she said how at one stage, at her local church, people were going to pick her up on Sundays, and they did so, and she'd sit out front of the house on Sunday, and someone would come and pick her up. And anyway, one Sunday, no one came. And so she just sat there and then went back inside after a while. And for a number of Sundays after that, she would go out and sit and wait, but no one would come.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so it's like...
But nobody noticed she wasn't there. What? That's... Oh, it's very tempting not to judge.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. But what I can say is the chaplain was there. And the chaplain, Reggie, comes and visits this person and comes and spends time in her house.
Yes.
And so that she can express her love for prayer, for reading God's word, for discussing spiritual things. So the chaplain's there to do that, the Anglicare at Home chaplain.
Hmm. So are people able to access the service if they're not in an aged care? I gather you now have a program of visiting people in their houses, not just in their aged care facilities. Is that correct?
Yeah. So my side of things as a manager is we have a team of 9 chaplains who go into the anybody who is an Anglicare at Home client. So an Anglicare at Home client is someone who gets like domestic services. And, you know, it might be washing dishes, cleaning house, going out shopping, those sorts of things.
Hmm.
Well, anybody who's under the Anglicare at Home client, because Anglicare is a Christian organisation and we love to see Jesus honoured. That's one of the central tenets, one of our 3 visions.
Yes, of course.
We offer this as a free service. They can have a chaplain come and visit them.
Wow. That could be the most valuable thing that happens. And do you...
Well, yeah, and can I just jump in there? In terms of value, I went on another visit. Do you mind me telling this story?
I'd love you to tell us another story.
Oh, okay. Another chaplain took me on, went to one of her regular clients, and it's like one of the great things about it is that there's a smile on their faces when they open the door. Like it's generally speaking, it's appointments, done by appointments, so they're ready. Anyway, this particular lady had a son there and a husband there as well. And she was the client. She brought us into the house and into the back of the house to a room where she had the table all set out. She had the best china. And under a beautiful, white shawl, she had a really sumptuous, like, afternoon tea. And we're sitting around, the chaplain's there, and we're chatting, and the chaplain's sort of, you know, doing a work and stuff. And in the meantime, the husband, who also is very elderly, he lifts up the corner of the tablecloth to try and sneak his hand in to get a bit of the afternoon tea.
Yes.
And she slaps him on the hand and says, "The chaplain's not ready yet. It's not for you." So it was really special. Like, that was kind of her moment of, you know, son was there, husband was there, but this is really special.
Yeah.
So it's like she sort of sees the visit of the chaplain as being a really special moment.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes family members will look to the chaplain. They might be Christians and they know that their parents, their mum or dad's a Christian.
Uh-huh.
They might really look to the chaplain to actually give that spiritual side of things, which maybe they never had the openness to articulate themselves with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I do see that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Children, grown up adult children, who really do impress upon the chaplain, "I really want you to visit Mum. I want you to visit Mum or Dad." And I have.
And what they're saying to you is that they want you to tell them, give them an assurance of their parents' faith.
I would think so, yeah, in a way that maybe they didn't have that kind of openness in around the table themselves.
Yes.
So in that way, that the chaplain does really provide and serves the whole family in a way that maybe the kids and the grandkids would love to see, be able to do themselves with Mum or Dad, but maybe they, for whatever reason, it's hard to break family patterns, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And there are generations that sometimes don't talk about spiritual matters, and yet they will open up to an outsider or a chaplain or a padre.
I think so.
I bet you call padre very often because there's that generation. Especially amongst older men. And do you find older men or older women, which are more receptive, or does it depend?
I think it depends, Stephen. Yes, it's hard to generalise on that one, I think.
Yeah.
Men, though, I do think, as a generalisation, men are kind of more isolated. Less connected or easier to break off connections, I think.
Yes, and we know that self-harm rates amongst older men are really at a very alarming number.
Yes, and I perhaps it's there could be lots of issues on that. Perhaps it is that sense of isolation. Also, perhaps I think that a lot of men are very active. Not, I'm not saying women aren't active, of course, but a lot of men really see a value in their work and their career. When you're old and you can't do that anymore, I think a lot of people really searching, well, what is that sense of meaning for me? What's that sense of identity even? One person called your late old age as the final career. And I quite like that because it sets it in that framework of saying, well, you're in your final career now. It's very different to the career or careers you had when you were in your prime or in your working life. But nevertheless, it's still a career. You still have spiritual tasks to do at least. And let's face it, you may well have a lot of time on your hands to be able to work through these spiritual tasks.
Well, look, thank you for opening up for us the world of a visitor. And thank you. I mean, it's quite biblical. Jesus visited with us, and there's that beautiful verse about you visited me when I was in prison.
Isn't that beautiful? It is, and then what's the sheep and the goats, and the sheep say, when did we feed you and clothe? But yes, it's a very biblical practice, and it's a very human practice, just turning up and visiting someone and being at their service in terms of listening, holding hands, and touch is a big thing, just holding someone's hand even.
It is.
What a powerful thing that is.
I think I've heard it referred to once or twice as the ministry of turning up.
That's a good one. I like it.
Well, thank you for telling us about your ministry of turning up. And all the very best to you, Francis. God bless.
Thanks for the opportunity, Stephen. God bless you too and your listeners.
That's Francis Chelwell of Anglicare.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.